We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Thursday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and you're listening to WMIE 91.5 FM. If you are listening at 8:30 of a morning or 5 o'clock of an evening, if you're listening at 10:30, you're on WWBC 1510 AM, and we want to thank you for tuning in. God is good. His mercy endures forever, and I pray that you are having a just a marvelous, marvelous week. So today we want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions. If you know Bill Andriak, he has been in the area for a long, long time, and if you have any air conditioning needs, he can help take care of those. His phone number is 759-3284, 759-3284 if you are here in the central Brevard County area. So I want to pause to say thank you to those who have let people in our congregation. There a number of people have been in our services and said, "Hey, I was talking to somebody in the community, and they were letting us know that they had been listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast, and I heard about this business on there, and you know somebody else was saying." You know, they were talking to someone and they said, told them what church they went to. And they said, "Oh, is that the one over on Grove Street? Because I listen to Pastor Bob on the radio every day." And so we just want to say thank you. Thank you again for your help here a few weeks ago with the Share-a-thon to help keep the radio station on the air. By the way, if we still have some coffee mugs available, if you'd like a coffee mug, I promise we're not going to bombard you with literature or anything like that. We just wanted to bless. We've been on the air for about a year and a half now, and we wanted to do something where we could bless people. And if this goes over, you know, if people respond to this, if you respond negatively to this or don't get involved in this, then we're not going to mess with what we might do in the future. But if there's a positive response to this and we're able to bless some people in the community, we've got our anniversary, our church anniversary coming up in June, and we might be able to do something that would not only be a prayer reminder, but it would actually have a powerful impact on your life. And almost everybody in the community would be able to be blessed by that. So, anyway, we want to say thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. If you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come out and visit with us. We are going to be having services Sunday morning, Sunday school at 9:30, worship service at 10:30. We will be having church Sunday night at 6:30 p.m. We would love to have you come out and be a part of those services. We're going to be in Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Isaiah 55, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. It's not a very long chapter, just 13 verses, and whenever it's short like that, we like to give you the entire context of what's going on. So, Isaiah 55 and verse number 1, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come. Buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as witness to the people a leader and a commander of the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Wow. Can I just encourage you, if you have not spent any time meditating on Isaiah 55, that you would find yourself in that passage and just feed on that for a considerable period of time. There are tremendous truths in that. And so we're probably going to park here for a season, but I want to start off by sharing with you about the leadership of the Lord. It says, first of all, about leadership, indeed I have given him as a witness to the people the sure mercies of David, it says in verse 3, a leader and a commander for the people. Listen, God is very much into leadership. He provides people to be in positions of leadership. Whether it's a political leader, we're supposed to pray for the political leaders. Whether it's a spiritual leader, Hebrews chapter 13 says that you and I are to conduct our lives so that those in spiritual leadership over us, that they will do their job of watching over our souls with great joy. If you do not have somebody watching over your soul, would you write us a letter? If you do not have a pastor, would you contact us by email, meritassembly@hotmail.com, or mail us a letter at 165 North Grove Street. Maybe you'd like one of our prayer mugs or whatever. But if you do not have somebody in your life who is not just providing you the Word of God, but is providing you direction, we would love to be able to help in that area. If you do not have a church, contact us, because God meant you and I to have human interaction. He meant for there to be order and structure in the people of God. And so he provides for that. A lot of people, they get this independent mind streak, and I read an article a number of years ago, it was about a particular state, and said that a lot of ex-military end up moving to that state because they spent their entire military career with people telling them what to do, and now they don't want anybody telling them what to do anymore. And I just find that to be a really dangerous place. Here is what I believe. I believe that everybody, every single person should have a leader over them. They should have authorities over them that help to keep them in line, because my heart can deceive me the same way that your heart can deceive you. My emotions can get the best of me the same way your emotions can get the best of you. I am thankful that I have leadership over my life. There may be some that would disagree with this statement, but I will just tell you where I am. I am thankful to be a part of the Assemblies of God. I am thankful that I have a covering over my life. I'm thankful for the wisdom that God has given to my leaders and my pastor. And I will tell you, from a personal standpoint, I would not want to be in a place where the leaders over me did not have leaders over them. The centurion said, I am a man under authority. Therefore, I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to this one, come, and he comes. I am thankful. I would find myself very uncomfortable in a position where there was not a chain of accountability, that everybody, including the pastor, had somebody that they were accountable to. Let me take you to the latter part of Isaiah, the 55th chapter, into verse number 12. And it says, for you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. Creation responds positively to the righteous being led forth in victory. Your workplace should be a much happier place because you conduct business in a righteous manner instead of an unrighteous manner, because you deal with people as people, as valuable people, instead of just treating them as, you know, some inconvenience to your life. So I encourage you that you and I, our environment, the atmosphere at work, at home, all of that should change because of God leading his people. And it says here, he says that you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. When God leads us, he's going to lead us with the shalom of God. That doesn't mean that you're never going to be a little nervous, but you are going to have peace. Not every day that I pastor Merit Assembly of God is a day that I don't have some uncertainties about certain things, but every day I have peace that I know I'm exactly where God has placed me and called me to be. You need to know that God has placed you. Do you know that in the book of Acts, it says that he has even determined the times and the place that you are to live? I have peace that I live in the house that God has picked out for me. Now, I could tell you that story, and it's a lot more than just a position of faith. You know, my wife and I had tried. We had lived at the church for 7 years. When we came, we thought, oh, we're not going to be staying here for very long. After all, it didn't have heat or air conditioning at that point in time. It didn't have any insulation. It was not an ideal living condition at all. And we thought, well, we'll just be here for a short period of time. The church will grow, and we'll be able to get out and get a house of our own. And eventually that did become a reality, but it was nearly 7 years after we came. We thought it would just be a matter of months, and it ended up being a matter of years. But God had given us a word, and it would have been in 1999. He gave us a word in the spring of 1999, and he said, these are the steps that I want you to take between March and August. And so we took each one of the steps that God took us. And these were not personal steps. These were church steps. And so we did evangelism when God said, do evangelism. We fixed the church when God said to fix the church. So we, you know, through the years, you would notice incremental changes to our structure, because we pay for all of our improvements cash as we come upon them. We don't have any debt. We don't want to owe anybody anything because we know what it is like. It says that the borrower is servant to the lender. And so we love the freedom to be able to support missions and do whatever God calls us to do ministry-wise. We like functioning with that freedom of not owing anyone anything. So my wife and I for years have been trying to buy a house. 1999 comes along, and We do the evangelism that God tells us to do. We fix up the house of God that he tells us to fix up. And as we were taking an evangelist to the airport, on the way back, we were coming up over the bridge. My wife had gone with me on this particular trip. And as we were coming up over the bridge back into Merritt Island, God spoke to us at the very top of the bridge and said, now is the time. Go look for your house. Go look for your house. And so we didn't swing by the church or anything like that. We went to two different real estate things. One was just a list of houses, and the other one was a real estate broker. We looked at both of the lists, and we looked at several houses. But out of all of the houses on the list, there was one that was listed in both places. We looked at that, and when we pulled up in the driveway, my wife said, when we pulled up into the driveway, I saw something and said, well, that's different. And the house we ended up buying was a fixer-upper. But when the real estate agent opened the door, we walked into the room. The very first thing my wife said was, this is the house. This is the house that God showed me. You know, on yesterday's program, I talked about taking the limits off God. See, as a man, I had put limits on God at that point in time because I knew what our finances were, and I knew what we had tried to purchase before and what price range, and we had never qualified. So I had the faith for a 3-bedroom, 1-bath house in Cocoa or, you know, here on the mainland. My wife said, no, God's called us to Merritt Island. And if God's called us to Merritt Island, we're going to live in Merritt Island and we're going to touch Merritt Island with the love of Jesus. And he showed me a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house in my dream. And I'm going to believe God for a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house. And so we go into this house. And as soon as we open the door, my wife said, this is the house God showed me. And she said, on the back of this house, you're going to find this large room that is back there. And sure enough, when we went back there, it had everything that God had showed her. The only thing it didn't have a 2-car garage. And I would have really liked a 2-car garage, but it was a single car garage. But we know that we are exactly where God called us to be. He positioned us in that neighborhood for a reason. And so here it says, you shall be led out with peace. That means that when God leads us, he's going to lead us out of our dull and mundane. He's going to lead us out of our bondage and our drudgery. He's going to lead us out of our depression. He's going to lead us out of our sickness. And he's going to lead us out with peace. Peace, or the shalom of God, is a confidence in God that he is going to provide everything that we need in every area of our life. There are some people who get led out by their emotions. Specifically, a lot of people get led by their frustrations. Well, I'm just frustrated here, and so I'm going to leave this place, and I'm going to go out. And you know, I have this picture going on in my head. You know, it'd be one thing if we were talking about unbelievers about this, but I think a lot of times believers act out of their own frustration instead of God placing them where they were. If I can, I'm going to take you to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to share with you the verse that God gave me when he called us to Merritt Assembly of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, and it says, verse number 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. God was speaking that verse to me over and over from 1991 to 1992. And so it says, but God, actually the devotion that I was reading at that time, it says God himself is going to come and pick you up and place you where he wants you. And that's the confidence. You and I are placed by God. The mindset that I think that God develops sometimes is when we operate and make transitions in our life because of frustrations or disappointment, and we make major shifts in our life, and God comes back and says, wait a minute, I was getting ready to bless them. Where did they go? Now, I know that God knows everything. You know, when he asked Adam, where are you? It wasn't because God was mis- was confused about where Adam was. He knew that he was hiding in the bushes and all of that. God knows exactly where you are. But too many times we get led forth by our frustrations instead of being led forth by peace. How many people have made marital changes, job changes, church changes because of their frustration instead of having a peace and confidence that comes from God that says, I know that this is what God wants me to do, no matter what the risks are, no matter how dangerous it might seem, I know that God wants me to do this. That's the confidence that I live with in my house. That's the confidence that I pastor the church with, that I am right where God wants me to be. He leads you out with peace. And so that peace, it talks about a wholeness in body. I believe that God wants to lead us in soundness in body, soundness in soul, sound in our mind, sound in our emotions, sound spiritually, sound financially. I believe that that is the way that God leads us out, that he leads us and say, you know what? If you will follow me, I am going to provide myself for you. That was the confidence that Abraham had, was that he had confidence. He told Isaac, God himself will God will provide himself a sacrifice. And when it came time for the sacrifice, there was a ram caught in the thicket. We've just got a few minutes left here on the program. We're gonna start in Isaiah 55, 1 on tomorrow's broadcast. But I want to talk to you about Abraham's father. At that time he was known as Abram, but his father was a man by the name of Terah, T-E-R-A-H. You would find the story of Terah's journey in Genesis chapter 11, and it's in verse number 30. Let's look at verse number 26. Now Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot, and Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no children. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans, listen to this, to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there, so the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. What I want to share with you is that Terah started on a journey. Now, he started on a journey probably because of the death of his son, that Haran died before his father Terah in the native land of the Chaldeans. So there was a journey, and the destination that they were going to was the land of Canaan. That's where Terah had set out. And he got halfway into the journey, and for some reason, he stopped there. He established a town. He named it after his son that had died. He called the place Haran. But he had not reached his destination yet. He stopped before he arrived. He stopped allowing God to lead him to the promised land, and he stopped halfway on the journey there. I want to encourage you today, do not stop halfway in your journey. Allow God to lead you not only out, but allow him to lead you in to the promised land, to lead you all the way there. Do not quit. If Terah had not decided to settle in the land of Haran, we might have had a different story, a different father of faith than Abram. We might have been talking about Terah, the father of faith, instead of Abram, the father of faith. But Terah made it halfway, and he allowed complacency or fatigue or whatever to cause him to settle short of his destination. He was called to go to Canaan, not Haran. And so they're there. Terah has decided, this is where I'm going to settle down. And in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." You may find yourself right now in a place where you have settled instead of at that destination. If that is where you are, I want you to know that God is calling out to you today. And he is saying, do not settle for mediocrity. Do not settle for just having begun the journey. I want you to continue on the journey that I am going to show you. Abram, you haven't seen this land before, but I want you to get up and I want you to leave behind certain things, and I am going to show you some phenomenal things. I'm going to show you a land that is going to be known as the Promised Land, and I am going to make you a great nation. If you will let me lead you, I am going to make you into more than you thought you ever could be. I know that things do not look like with your wife's biology right now that you are going to be a great nation. But I'm going to make you into a great nation, a great group of people. Right now, it might not look like that you are going to be blessed when you are leaving things behind that other people are able to cling to. But if you will trust me as I lead you, I'm going to bless you. Your name may not be known in the land of Canaan right now, but I'm going to cause your name to be great. And you are going to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. You know who God uses to bless the families of the earth? Those who are led out with peace. Those who are led by the Spirit of God. Those who courageously obey the voice and the leadership of God. God wants to take us all the way to the land that he has for us. May you be led forth today in peace instead of fear and anxiety. Listen, if you are overcome by anxiety and worry, shut off the news. Shut off all of the negative things that people are trying to motivate you by fear or paralyze you by fear, and allow God to lead you this day in peace. God, on this day, I pray for peace that surpasses understanding to become a real manifestation in the heart of every man, every woman in this county. God, may your people be led forth with peace. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."